This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Tuko duniani kulingania dini ya Uislamu kwa walo duniani.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إخوتي في الله اعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The title of the talk that I was giving today is Dunya versus Akhirah. And I could not find anything better than hadith from hadith النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث علي رضي الله عنه. As we all know, as Muslims, walillahi alhamd, we are different from other faiths. We should not give ourselves to dunya and we should not denounce dunya and reject it. Once again, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. This hadith that I'm going to quote, it has five things, five elements, five points. And the hadith would mention one side, but the other side, the opposite side, is given. In Sharia, we have something called mantuq, which means that which has been added or, you know, stated. And we have something called mafhum, some that has been understood. Form the statement that is being mentioned. This hadith, hadith Ali radiyallahu anhu. And he said, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Atani Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salam came to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala ya Muhammad, ish ma shi'ta fa innaka mayyit. This is the first thing. Now, I want you to imagine Jibreel alayhi salam, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Rasulullah is not a regular person. As a matter of fact, he's not a regular prophet or messenger. As a matter of fact, he's the first of Ulul Azm. We have five top messengers of Allah. We have Nuh, we have Ibrahim, we have Musa, we have Isa, and we have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These five are known as Ulul Azm. They are the top, the best of all mankind. The first of those five is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Jibreel is coming to him, telling him five things. And he's saying to him, Ya Muhammad, عِشْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ. هُنَا وَقْفَ. Right here we should pause, we should reflect. What would Jibril, Ruhul Amin, the best of the angels, the chosen angels for the message. What would he call the best of all mankind, the best of Ulul Azm? What would he call him by his first name? He did not say to him, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Khalil al-Rahman, Ya Aba al-Qasim. All of these titles are titles of respect. And Jibreel knows the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here he called him Ya Muhammad. Not even sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad. To let Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know that this statement, the upcoming statements, not a statement of gratitude, not a statement of praise, not a statement of status. This is a warning for you, O Muhammad. And therefore, thus, it is warning for the rest of your followers. قَالَ عِشْ مَا شِئْتَ مَيِّتَ عِشْ, live as long as you wish. مَا شِئْتَ, not as long as been decreed for you. No, مَا شِئْتَ. As though Allah, the Messenger of Jibreel, is saying, you know, it is up to you how long you want to live. The end result is you will die. And subhanAllah, see, here is a warning itself. Jibreel is saying to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, live as long as you want. You know, do whatever you want to do. You know, live 50 years, 60 years, live over 1,000 years like Nuh alayhi salam, you will depart from this dunya, like it or not. And why did Jibreel mention death as a first element of warning? Because one thing that we fear most is death. We fear death most. You don't fear to get sick with minor illness. You don't fear to be in prison for a crime that you commit. You don't fear to be struck or hit for reason or no reason as much as you fear death. You don't fear losing your status, losing your wealth, losing your property, losing a limb of your body as much as you fear losing your life. This is the ultimate thing. Ultimate thing. And that's why the most precious thing that you can give it to Allah is your life. And that's why shaheed, a person who is asked, who dies in the state of jihad fi sabilillah, receives the highest status in Jannah after the shuhada, after the anbiya wa rusul. And also death, it is the most painful thing that you would ever experience. Yaqul Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, لما حضرت الوفاة, when a death came to my father, قلت لأبي, I said to my father, كنت تقول, he always used to say, ليتني, I wish, ألقى رجلا عاقلا لبيبا نزل به الموت فأسأل عنه ما يجد. I wish if I could find or meet someone who's intelligent, intellectual, strong, articulate, so I can ask him, you know, at the time of his death, so I can ask him how he feels. And Abdullah said to his father, وَأَنْتَ ذَاكَ الرَّجُلُ, and you are that man. فقلني, now tell me about how you feel. Now, Amr bin As is dying at this moment. His son is asking this question. فقال يا بني والله كأن جنبي في تخت وكأني أتنفس من ثقب إبرة وكأن غصن الشوك يجذب من قدمي إلى هامتي. He said, oh my son, I feel that I am lying on a hot pan. I've been grilled. I feel pain on my sides. And I feel that I'm breathing through a needle hole. I cannot breathe normal like you enjoying this fresh oxygen. And I feel that stick full of thorn being combed my body from my toes to my head. This is how he felt, radiyallahu anhu. And this is not even a fraction of what death feels. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, عِشْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتَ. Now when it comes to this dunya, you should always keep that in mind. And now if you're 20 years old, or if you reach the age of puberty, and the pen starts writing against you, you should appreciate, cherish, honor every single day that you have, every single moment that you experience, every single breath that you take. You should cherish that. And we all should cherish that. Imagine if you are 40, 50, 60 years old. If you're over 60, this is overtime. In football, they call this overtime. You took all your necessary regular time, and now you're playing your overtime. Because this is the sunnah of Ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that in the morning when you open your eyes, you should say, Alhamdulillah, for giving me another opportunity. So the Messenger of Allah was giving a warning. Listen, this is what you should be concerned about. The second thing that he gave him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, وَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقٌ وَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقٌ. He said, and love whom you ever wish and will. You will departure that thing. You love your family, you will leave them or they will leave you. You love your wealth and your property, you will leave it or it will leave you. You love your wife, she will leave you or you will leave her. أحبب من شئت فإنك مفارق. And that's why in Hadith al-Bukhari, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three things will follow the deceased to his grave. Three things. Ahla, wa mala, wa amala. His family, his wealth, his deeds. Those three things will go with you to the cemetery. Your wife, your sons, your father, your children, whatever, your daughters, they will cry and your sons will take you to the grave. Your wealth is still yours. And because of your wealth, perhaps they utilize it to facilitate for you and for your burial. But when they put you in that little place that we call lahd or qabr, and they put the dirt over you, two of them will come back. Your children would come back. Your wealth would come back. But your amal would stay. And that's why the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, كما في المستدرك حاكم من حديث براءة بن عازب, he mentioned a long hadith that when the angels come and they ask you a question, then a man, if you're a mu'min, a man who looks handsome and wearing beautiful outfit, you know, and smells nice, very nice, will come and then he will say, who are you? And he will say to you, I am your deed. If you're righteous, but if you're wicked, if you're evil, evil looking person with bad smell, bad attitude will come to you and he will also say, I am your deeds. So Jibreel alayhi salam said to him, وَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقْ. Love whoever you wish, you will leave it behind. We had a situation in one of the countries that the father, who was neglectful in terms of his daily salah, salat al-jama'ah, and the father was very eager to make something for his family, because a lot of fathers, they miss the target and they think if they work hard for the children, if they secure their future by leaving so much wealth for them, they have done their responsibility. They have done their duties. They have done their job. And they don't realize the money that you accumulate and the wealth that you leave behind, you would be asked about and someone else would enjoy it. You would be asked about, فَإِنْ كَانَ حَلَالًا فَحِسَابٌ وَإِنْ كَانَ حَرَامًا فَعِقَابٌ. Straightforward. If you left whatever you left behind is from halal sources, then you will be questioned about it in every detail, in a very detail, and everything about that wealth. مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبْتُ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقْتُ فِيهِ. How did you earn your income? And how did you spend your wealth? How did you earn your income? Was it from haram income, from haram sources, or from halal sources? And how did you spend it? For the da'wah fi sabilillah, for a sadaqah, for a masajid, for education, for yateens, for the needies, for the, you know, aramil. Or you are in Vegas last year, and this year you're going somewhere else, and the next year and you're going third place. وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقْتِ. And how did you spend? قَالَ فَإِنْ كَانَ حَلَالًا فَحِسَابٌ وَإِنْ كَانَ حَرَامًا فَعِقَابٌ. But if your income was from haram sources, you will be punished for it. Now keep that in mind. You've been punished in your grave, and your son or your sons, your daughters, your cousins, they're enjoying the money that you left for them. لذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, وَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقْ. What Allah is asking you towards your family is, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. Ask or order your family to perform salah and be patient with it. We do not ask you to provide for them. I'm not asking you to neglect your responsibility, but I'm asking you to prioritize it. Because there is a priority. There's a, you know, here you need to know how to prioritize things. Then the Messenger of Allah was giving the third warning. قَالَ وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتْ وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌ بِهِ وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتْ. Do whatever you want to do. You want to do umrah every month. You want to do hajj every year. You want to go to the haram for every Ramadan. You want to sit in a halaqah and learn the deen of Allah. You want to memorize the book of Allah. You want to study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will be rewarded for that. Sheikh Al-Qahtani was telling me there, he said he knows someone from Belgium who performs Umrah every month. He comes, subhanAllah, he comes, he flies from Europe, he comes to Jeddah, he takes taxi, he goes to the Haram, he stays, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he's back. Every single month. That person, فَإِنَّهُ مَجْزِيٌّ بِهِ, he will be rewarded for what he did. And I know someone, I met someone who was born in Jeddah, 25 years old, never went to the Haram. Never went to the Haram. 25 years old young man, healthy, capable of taking taxi to the Haram and come back the same day. No. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وقيل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعمل ما شئت فإنك مجزي به. Do whatever you want to do, you would be rewarded. Now look at the other side. If you do bad deeds, then you will also be punished for it. If you do evil things, you will be punished for it. If you are involved in backbiting, you know, trying to defame others, talking about others, if you are involved cheating in business, if you are involved doing other things that Islam does not allow, the Messenger of Allah said, you will also be held responsible for that. فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌّ بِهِ. So as a Muslims, we have to be careful. You know, we have to do righteous deeds that you will be proud of it on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because you will be rewarded for. Imagine, subhanAllah, imagine if you go out and you tell those non-Muslims who have the wrong impression about Islam, who think Islam is what the media is, you know, showing them, who think Islam is a religion of, you know, terrorizing innocent people, killing innocent people, destroying properties, and so on. And you go to that person and you give them soft introduction of Islam. You tell them about the beauty of Islam. And then that person accepts Islam. And then that person, he goes and he gives dawah to his wife and to his children. And then they become Muslims. And then that family become a Muslim family. Until the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, until the day of judgment, whatever good deeds that they do would come to your account. وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌّ بِهِ. You know, a lot of us are very, I should say, extremely intelligent when it comes to business in dunya world. They know how to close deals. They know this deal is not good for them. He's going to lose in that deal. He's going to, you know, gain so much profit out of that deal if he closes that deal. He knows he should not bet on that deal lower than this, or I'm sorry, higher than this. He's very clever when it comes to the dunya business, but he's very unintelligent when it comes to akhirah deals and businesses. Very unintelligent. And that's, you know why? Because Allah in the Quran said, إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَلْ أَبْصَارِ. He said, it does not blind the sight. It doesn't blind the actual sight that you can see things, you can see the numbers. However, it blinds the heart. You know, one of those years, subhanAllah, the time of Sahaba bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, the city of Medina was going through hardship. And in that, Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu, some of the narration, he was a businessman, very successful businessman, and he was able to figure out the formula that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from him. So he sent out a caravan of 1,000 camels. 1,000 camels. Loaded camels with everything. And when the camels were approaching the city of Medina, some of the people of the city of Medina, they thought there's an earthquake. 1,000 camels coming to the city of Medina. And the city of Medina is going through hardship at the time of Umar. So the tujar, the business people, they said, let us meet Uthman bin Affan and let us deal with him. We want to sell whatever he has. فقال يا عثمان نعطيك every dirham, we give you 2 dirham. Every dirham that you spend, we'll give you another dirham next to it. So 2 dirham. قال قد أعطيت فيه أكثر من ذلك. He said, I was paid more than that. قالوا فالدرهم درهم في كل درهم درهمان. For every dirham, we give you 2 dirhams. He said, no, someone else paid me more. And they said, how about 3, 4? When they got to 5, they said, Ya Uthman, we are the businessmen of the city of Medina. Who else could pay you more? قَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْطَانِي. He said, Allah, he gave me for every dirham, 10 dirhams. Can you top that? They say, no. He said, then all of this is sadaqa fi sabilillah. See, that man, radiyallahu anhu, knew how to deal, to make business and close deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was very intelligent when it comes dealing, doing business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ya Abdullah, i'mal ma shi'ta fa innaka majziyun bih. Ma shi'ta. And then the Messenger of Allah was giving the 4th point. And Jibreel said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa'alam anna sharaf al-mu'min qiyam al-layl. Now you may say, wait a second. When did we shift? We're talking about dunya. You know, live as long as you wish, one day you will die. It's dunya thing. You know, love whoever you wish, you're gonna leave them sooner or later. Dunya. You know, do whatever you want to do. You will be rewarded or punished for dunya. Now, when did we go to the other side? Why Qiyam al-Layl is mentioned in this hadith? Because the truth is, unless you have something that is between you and Allah alone, like Qiyam al-Layl, it would be challenging for you to overcome the first 3 elements. It would be challenging. Qiyam al-Layl, brothers and sisters. I know we have thousands of Muslims sitting here, but Qiyam al-Layl is not for all of us. Qiyam al-Layl is for a certain group of people. You know, have you ever, you know, try to purchase tickets, airfare, or air, you know, for airplanes? They have 3 classes. They have economy for the general masses. They have business class, and they have first class. Qiyam al-Layl is like first class. You know, if you just regular Muslim, you know, you fly in Jannah, you go to Jannah, and then you're going to be in economy, mashallah. Khalas, ya akhi. You know, this is what you did, no sunnah, nothing much, no much of hasanat, sadaqat. You know, you're going to be with the economy. You did a little bit more. You add, 12 rak'ah every day. You give, few shilling here and there, a few dollars there. Then you may be with the business class. You are like Uthman and others, and you establish Qiyam al-Layl. You're going to fly first class. You took care of your team. You're going to be flying first class. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا وَكَافِ الْيَتِيمِ كَهَاتَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ I and the guardian of your team are like this in paradise. Like this. It's not going to be, 50,000 people after me. No, it's going to be like this with me. This is first class treatment. VIP treatment. And that's why Qiyam al-Layl is not for everyone. Qiyam al-Layl is only for a small group of people who are close to Allah. Why? Because Qiyam al-Layl, it means munajah lillah. You talk to Allah alone. It's private. I guarantee you, if King, Muslim king somewhere says, I want to meet you privately, I want to meet you alone, you would assume or you would feel privileged. You would feel that you are chosen. He prefers you over the rest of the people, your peers and your crew. Now, Qiyam al-Layl, it is a special munajah between you and Allah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, wa'lam anna sharaf al-mu'min qiyam al-layl. He says, sharaf al-mu'min, the honor of a mu'min is for him or her to establish qiyam al-layl. Wa'izzahu istighnahu anin nas. And his self, personal, respect, he can only gain if he's sufficient from others. If it's sufficient for others. Because when you need others, then you are disgraced. You are pushed or suppressed down. Ikhwati fillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those alladhina yastami'una al-qawla fayattabi'una ahsana. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the brothers and the sisters who have been here. And I think the next lecture is here. So, هذا ما عندي واستغفر الله لي ولكم وجزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
تقو دنيا نكول غني يا ديني يا وسلامك ولو دنياني